Speaking on this program is Brother Kevin Key.
Good people, when, where, and how did this world begin? We live in a world today that is very confused about our God. Good people, when we think in regard to the world today, we find those who are atheists, who do not believe in the existence of God. They look to you and me as believers in God, and they say that we are crazy, that we are gullible, that we are naive for believing in God. They contend that our belief and that our assembling ourselves together as we are doing at this present hour, that you and I are doing so in a vain manner, in a manner that is worthless. Why? Because as they see it, we are wasting our time. We had might as well have slept in this morning or gotten up and gone out and enjoyed life. Why? Because as these people look at our existence here, they believe that we exist here upon the face of this earth solely for going out and living our life however it is that we would so choose to do. How is it that this world came into existence? Good people, according to those who hold to evolution, they believe that two relatively unknown sources of energy came together and created the Big Bang, and therefore, as a result of this spontaneous combustion, order was set into place and it developed the creation of this world. Good people, in all of this, I ask you, where and how did these sources of energy come into being? How is it that these sources of energy not only came into existence, but how is it that they were able to come together and to explode and to bring forth order and the universe as you and I know it to exist into this very age? Good people, understand that this goes against the scientific law of cause and effect. If there is indeed an effect, there must of necessity in like figure be that which is causing it. These foolish souls embrace evolution. They believe that it not only all started with a Big Bang, but they believe that the world has and that the world continues to evolve. Whenever they look to mankind, they believe that man is not created by God, but rather that we have evolved from a lesser form of existence. And good people, that lesser form, if you look to the totality of where they look to, they say that we have evolved over time from apes. Advocates of evolution push their agenda. They are not content with their personal convictions concerning this, but rather, good people, they continue to try to shove their theories down our throat on a continual basis. How is it that they do this? Some instructors try to sway religionists. From the time in which our children enter grade school, through middle school, and in through high school, theistic evolution or evolution within itself, the concepts are being pushed by our educators. And then whenever our children go off to colleges or universities, they have professors who will continue to bombard them with schools of thought that try to dismiss the existence of our God. And good people, understand is that these people have their own agenda to destroy the belief that is within our children. They want to humiliate our children into believing what it is that they believe in regard to a non-existence of God, as well as into evolutionary concepts. Some believers, as a result of not being able to stand in their faith, because it is that they have not been rooted and grounded into the truth, because of the fact that they do not want to stand humiliated amongst their peers, as a result of that, some buy into the school of thought concerning theistic evolution. What is theistic evolution? Theistic evolution is theos in the Greek language is God. And therefore they contend that God has indeed created all things, but yet at the same time, they want to embrace the scientific realm of evolution. They want to embrace those evolutionary ideas and to give God the credit for starting evolution as they would present it from a theistic evolutionary standpoint. It is God who is indeed responsible for the creation of all things, and therefore it is God who has created evolution and put the evolutionary path into its course, of which we find today. As a result of theistic evolution, some have been able to embrace a school of thought called the day-age theory. What is the day-age theory? Good people, the day-age theory, in a very simplified explanation, would be is that they do not believe that a day equals a day. Whenever God created the heavens and the earth and all that is in them, the Bible identifies unto us is that He created it in six literal 24-hour days and rested upon the seventh day. He had completed His work after 6 days, and therefore upon the seventh day He rested from all of His creative work. And yet at the same time, as those who buy into theistic evolution and into the doctrine of the day-age theory, they would say that a day does not equal a day, but rather that a day, rather than representing a literal 24-hour day, is that a day represents eons and eons of time. And therefore, over millions and billions of years, God created the earth. And therefore, that's why we find is that the earth meets up with, from their theological standpoint, the age of the earth that scientists want to present before us today. But yet at the same time, there are others who buy into the gap theory. As they read Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, where God says, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void and darkness on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the water." They look to where God says, "And the earth was without form and void," and they want to insert their theology there and say that the earth became void and darkness. And yet at the same time, good people understand that the Bible nowhere says that it became. And by saying that it became, they're saying that there's a gap there that God had created, but yet at the same time, He stepped back and allowed billions of years to transpire. And therefore, as Him stepping back, the earth became without form, void, and dark. And hence God came back into the picture then and recreated what it is that He had first started to create. Good people, when we think in regard to evolutionists and their and atheists and the influence that they've had upon those who are believers in God and have developed into many of these people theistic evolutionary ideas, some people are left totally perplexed. They do not know what to believe whenever it comes to our God. According to what the Bible says, our God created every good and perfect thing. The Bible very clearly reveals unto us is that God is the source of everything that is good. James chapter 1 and verse 17. According to the Bible, God created the heavens and the earth. Note in the context of Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth." Good people, there are four essential elements that comprise or make up the universe: time, force, energy, and matter. And in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, we have all four of those sources identified. In the beginning, time, God, the force, created energy, the heavens and the earth, matter. God is responsible for the creation of time, force, energy, matter, and therefore He presents this by creating the heavens and the earth. But yet at the same time, we understand according to what the Bible says is that God created order and purpose. Good people, yes, whenever God created the heavens and the earth, in the beginning it was without form. It needed to be brought forth into an orderly fashion. And therefore, that's what we have throughout the subsequent days, the first, second, third, fourth, and fifth, and sixth days, is that God is bringing order into this world. As you look to each day is important. And as God developed each day, God also wants us to understand is that each day was pointing yet unto the next day and unto the ultimate day in which mankind would be created. Whenever mankind is created, we understand that the purpose of God's creation was for mankind. God had created this earth so that man would have a place to inhabit, so that man would have a place to dwell, so that God could provide for man. And when we find in regard to the creation of what it is that God has brought forth, good people, God also reveals unto us is that He created all animal life. Well, what do we need to know in regard to this? Good people, God created the birds, the fowl of the air. God created the fish, all of the creatures of the sea or waters, but then also God created all of the beasts. Those that roam the field live upon the face of this earth, upon the dry land. But also the Bible reveals to us that our God in His creation has created mankind. Genesis chapter 1 verses 26 through 31. God said, "Let us create man after our image, after our own likeness." And good people, as God had went forward in creation, God very clearly identifies that everything was good. But yet at the same time, whenever God had created mankind, whenever God had created that which He was working toward humanity, the Bible no longer says that everything was good, but rather now that everything is very good. And according to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, God breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being or a living soul. According to what we find in regard to the creation, is that our God, the Godhead, operated as a perfect unit. Good people, God is unified. God always has and God always will work as a perfect unit, now we understand, for the purpose of our existence as well as for the salvation of our soul. The Father, according to what we find in regard to His role in creation, is that He gave instruction in detail in regard to the creation of all things. He established the world, according to Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 12, by His wisdom. It is according to the Father's wisdom and heaven's eternal plan is that instruction and detail was given. And then in like figure, the Bible reveals unto us is that the Son, He was indeed the one who carried forth these directions. He's the one, the Word of God, that is present there at the creation of all things. He is the Logos, as John chapter 1 and verse 1, also John chapter 1 and verse 14, depicts Him. He is the essence of all that is. And therefore we know is that all things that were created by Him and through Him. And without Him, nothing was made that was made. In Jesus Christ, Jesus is responsible for the creation of all things that exist in this material universe and also for the existence of mankind. What role did the Holy Spirit play? Good people, the Bible reveals unto us is that the Spirit of God moved in creation. He is responsible there in creation for hovering over the face of the water, for bringing order, for bringing purpose into play. Every person or figure in the Godhead played a very vital part in bringing forth the creation of this world. Good people, according to the Scripture, God created His creation in a very mature state. As you speak to individuals who are atheists or who buy into the evolutionary process, they say, you know, whenever we date the earth, number one, I want to ask, well, what do you have to date it by? What do you have that's billions of years of age that you're able to literally lay it beside and to say that the earth is billions of years old? Good people, it does not exist. The earth is the oldest of anything that is in existence. And therefore, you can't lay it beside itself unless you do. And then whenever you do, you've got to weigh it by itself. But yet at the same time, they don't do that. They come up with their theories. They come up with their so-called laws based out of this theory in order to determine how old it is. But yet at the same time, let's go down that path. They say that we have an earth that appears to be really, really old, billions of years old. Why is it that the earth appears to be older than what it is? Good people, the earth, whenever God had created, He created it as a mature earth. You look to day one, day two, and day three, and the subsequent days, and whenever God had created and finished His creative work, how old did Adam and Eve look whenever they were created? They were not infants, but rather they were mature. Why? Because God commanded them. He told them that they were to multiply, that they were to come together as a husband and wife are commanded to do and to multiply and to fulfill or to fill the earth. It's called procreation. But also, how old did the earth look?
Good people, the earth was created in such a form or fashion that it too was able to reproduce at that given time. It was mature. How old did it look at day 7? How old did it look 5 weeks after it was in existence? It looked older than what it was. Why? Because that's the way that God created it. And He created it in a procreative state. Each kind was to reproduce after its own kind. Good people, that within itself refutes the evolutionary idea that we have evolved from ape. Vegetation was to reproduce after its own kind. Beasts were to reproduce after its own kind. Mankind, humanity, human life did not evolve, but rather was to reproduce, to be procreative after its own kind. But also the Bible reveals unto us is that God created everything in a finished or accomplished state. Good people, there was no gap theory. There's nothing there in Scripture concerning the day-age theory. But rather what we do find is that God, whenever He brought His creation to a closure, is that everything was very good. Everything was as God had intended for it to be at that given time. And therefore, God says that it is finished. He had completed it. It was as He had saw it in His eternal plan. In regard to all of this, we need to understand, good people, is that God does not give any room for theistic evolution, but rather that God only wants man to embrace the idea and the fact that God is responsible for the creation of everything. But in like figure, as God wants us to look upon His creation, God says that He has created everything in a very convincing state. The heavens declare the glory of God. Psalms 19, verses 1 through 5. As you and I look to the world of which we live in, as you and I examine not only what the Bible says, but as we examine what we find here in this world, as we look to the design of the earth, as we look to the mountains, we see design. As we turn to the nature, trees, and how that these trees put forth oxygen that's necessary for our survival, we see design. As we look to the human body and we consider the complexity of the human body and how that we look not only to the complexity of the human body and the cells and the organs that our body is made up of, but as we consider all these things from a scientific and medical standpoint, from the whole realm of the anatomy, good people, God says is that it didn't just happen, but rather is that you and I have convincing evidence that is laid before us from our existence and also of the world of which we live in, is that it just did not happen as a big bang. Rather, there is design, and therefore a designer who has brought forth in a very masterful way the creation of all things. And God wants us to look to the evidence. He does not look to us as we're crazy or naive or gullible. If we are walking without having searched the evidence, then maybe we are. But you and I, as we look to the things that God has given us in, from an evidence standpoint, we can rest assured and we can stand firm in knowing that without question, our God has created all things. The Bible reveals unto us that those who deny the existence of God, that these individuals are fool. The Bible says on two different occasions explicitly, but also implies in other places, that the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Psalms 14 and verse 1 and Psalms 53 and verse 1. Why are these individuals who would deny the existence of God fools? According to what is taught in the book of Acts chapter 14 and verse 17, God has not left Himself without witness in that He did good. Good people, I tell you that not only is there evidence of God in the fact that He has done good, there's evidence in the fact that the continued existence of God in that He is doing good. Our God continues to watch upon His creation and to provide for us on a continual, everyday basis. And therefore, these things point to the fact that there is a God. Well, what about those individuals who would twist the Scripture? What about those people who want their cake and eat it too?
who want to believe in God, but yet at the same time who want to believe in what the scientists say about evolution, and therefore they embrace theistic evolution. What about these individuals? Good people, the Bible very clearly reveals is that these people are unlearned, and based out of their unlearned and ignorance, they twist the Scripture. And in twisting the Scripture, the Bible says that they do it to their own destruction. Whenever they stand before God in judgment, if they buy into the evolutionary ideas and try to work or weave God into the middle of all that, they're wrong. They're dead wrong. Why? Because that's not what God teaches in His Word. It's either creation or it's not. You can't have it both ways. You can't be lukewarm. You're either going to take what God says or you're going to take what man says. And if you take what man says and try to weave it with what God says you don't have Him. You've got man-made theology. It's no different than what we've been talking about in regard to denominationalism and denominational doctrine. Good people, we either accept God or we denounce Him. And to twist the Scripture does us no good. We need to take what God says as He says it. And yet at the same time, for those who embrace Christ, for those who are willing to accept what it is that God teaches in regard to evolution, or defeating evolution rather, as well as in regard to matters of salvation, we are counted as wise in the sight of God. Why? John chapter 14 and verse 6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man comes unto the Father except through me. Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 39. Why are we counted as wise? Because we're building upon the solid rock, Jesus Christ our Lord. And those then who would live their life faithful before God will have hope beyond this life of an eternal life in heaven with our God. You know, as the atheist, agnostic, or skeptics of this world look to our life here, they say that we need to go out and live our life however we want to live it. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you may die, if you would. And don't worry about it, because whenever you die, you're like the dog Rover who's dead all over. You go into the ground and that's it. And good people, you and I as Christians know that that's not it. If that's all life is, life would be unfair. If that's all life is, good people, there's no hope or joy to know that when a person dies that they're just going to go to the grave. The Bible reveals unto us is that we have a hope, and this hope we have as an anchor, so steadfast and sure. What is that hope, good people? Our hope is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Our hope is in the eternal God who is and who has created all things. Our hope is in God who not only has created us according to His image and not only has given us an opportunity of salvation through His Son, but our hope is in God who speaks to us through His inspired, inerrant Word to guide us and to lead us down the path of righteousness. And our hope is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Not only in the fact that we can confess Christ to be the Son of the living God and to submit ourselves to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin and then to be raised to walk in newness of life. But good people, our hope is in Jesus Christ who has been raised by the glory and the power of our God and who is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God, ruling and reigning on high. Our hope is in that Savior who has gone on into the eternal realm, and who will come again and call everyone into judgment. And our hope is in our love for God, conjoined with our obedience to Christ in baptism, and living our life faithful to God and to the very end, for that great and glorious day when we shall face our God. My heart goes out to those who would buy into any form of evolution. Why? Because they would be lost in the sight of God. It's only whenever we accept God on His terms and live our life faithful to God that we shall have hope beyond this life of an eternal life in heaven with Him.